Here the Leafs breaking in. Nylander right on the faceoff. Scores! Holy mackinac, 9 seconds in. Nylander working to the line. Just did keep it in. Nylander the right wing side to Matthews. Scores! Al Marner once more shoots it in. Mrazek couldn't track it down. Perfect center. They score! Tavares! Mrazek went back in the net to play the puck, and he missed it with his glove, and it was a long way back. And he didn't make it. Puck goes into an open corner, stolen there by Matthews. Matthews back to the point, and a shot by Timmins. Score! Connor Timmins is going to get credit for this goal. Wonderful shot. But the stick work of Matthews taking that puck away was an art.
It's Baby Friday on The Fan Morning Show. Justin and Ailish, Sports at 590 The Fan. Top of the morning to you all. How's it going, JC?
What's that?
How's it going?
Oh, pretty good. Pretty good.
You had a big night last night.
How are things with you?
Yeah, they're good. I want to know about
your night. Big night last night? I didn't have much of a night last night.
You had... Every Thursday morning, every Baby Friday, I come in here waiting to hear about your beer league team.
I know.
You look a little defeated this morning, I'll say.
We haven't talked about it much because I've missed a couple games, a lot of late night games that I've got to skip.
You look hesitant to share the news this morning.
Yeah, we're on a little skid. Remember when I was saying we just don't lose? No losses since opening night? We have not won a game since there.
Wow.
There was a forfeit because we couldn't attend.
Because of weather?
I believe there was a little weather thing that day.
Inclement weather?
Inclement weather forced us to not get in our cars. I wasn't there last week because it was a late game again. And then I suffered my first loss being present last night. Rent a goalie, though. Do we...
See, this is where you're putting it on the rent-a-goalie's shoulders.
Can we not count it because of the rent-a-goalie?
Was the rent-a-goalie...
The rent-a-goalie thing is, it's kind of fascinating because I've never seen a rent-a-goalie that comes like bombing in and is like really like happy to be there.
Well, how long of heads up are you giving them?
It always seems like it's a chore, but they get paid. The rent-a-goalie gets paid. So he comes in and every single time it's the same. They go to the corner. Head down, barely acknowledge anyone.
Oh,
it's a job.
Sad.
And then you try to like, hey, yeah, like, so this will be fun. And then they might have like one question, like, how good are you guys? Like, how you guys been doing? And then that's it. And then if things don't go well, which they didn't last night, we lost 4-2 in the rent-a-goalie. Mm. Probably, I'll just say our goalie has three of them, at least. We'll say that.
Okay.
Our goalie has three. Dips out real quick. Doesn't want to face the music.
Well, yeah,
right?
Because you're probably intimidated.
Offered a beer, of course. Declines a beer. Like, they always decline the beer. Is there like a rent-a-goalie out there that is really excited, that has the personality, that wants to come in and just immediately be
part of the
group?
Is there a goaltender in general?
Like, that. Like, I'm not that person. I'd be head down. I wouldn't even do it because I understand that introverts don't want to be put in that situation. But like, there's got to be like, I don't know. There's got to be maybe. A little quest, like a little Hinge profile there on the rent-a-goalie
system.
That'd
be a really good app.
Like someone that's just like you can find out a little bit about the rent-a-goalie before you invest money in that player.
Usually, two things. Usually you're at the point where you don't have time or the luxury of swiping through a rent-a-goalie app. You are in desperate
If you don't have
measures,
your goalie, it's desperation.
You're not shopping to draft said rent-a-goalie. Second of all, was this rent-a-goalie better than Peter Mrazek?
Marginally worse.
So be happy with
like,
what you got,
like, at least he stayed
okay?
in his net, no?
Yeah.
Like, I will never be able to look at Peter Mrazek and not be like, well, Kyle Dubas is not perfect, is he? Like, it's the biggest stain, the permanent stain on the resume, which is like, you went out and got that guy?
That was a tough reminder of darker times.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Mrazek at the other end of the ice, Scotiabank Arena, with some absolute questionable moments in play.
I will say, kind of a stroke of genius if you're Kyle Davidson. Like, there was one intention this season. It was to be bad, and you got the goaltender that is going to best prepare yourself to be bad on a night-to-night basis.
Peter Tank Mrazek.
He's the perfect guy for that job, and he'll be the perfect rent-a-goalie one day because I think he probably dips out with his head down as well.
You think?
I would imagine.
I got to go and retweet this tweet that I put out last year where I put a photo of my brother, Jordan, beside...
I was going to say, he could be, like, he could pass as your brother.
It's so strange. I put a photo of my brother, Jordan, right beside a picture of Peter Mrazek. Mm-hmm. A thread of three of them.
A thread? Look at you.
And I don't know. Nobody's seen Peter Mrazek and my brother in the same room. And that's all I have to say. It's eerie how close they look. So I don't know if I have a little bit of a soft spot.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got a little soft spot. You don't want to go, just in case he turns out to be your brother, you don't want to have so much on record.
He could be related to me. When you look at the photos of Jordan and Peter, it's weird.
Didn't he, like, escape to school at some point? Like, maybe something happened where...
Who, my brother?
Yeah. You said he went to a different school?
Oh, yeah.
You went to a different school?
My brother went to Athol Murray College of Notre Dame in Regina, Saskatchewan.
Wow.
Maybe they were swapped.
Yeah,
out
maybe
there.
Something happened out there, a little Freaky Friday.
Anyway, I'm going to find that tweet, share it. But yeah, it's a bit weird. They're around the same age. He's from Chechia, though. Our roots are Bulgarian. I think they're pretty close to each other.
Yeah.
Something spooky there, Mom. Anyway, we got a text in here. You should be able to give a review and rate the Rent-A-Goalie with 5 stars or 1 star, like an Uber driver.
That would be...
What would we name this app, though? Because I think we're on to something. We got to hurry up and trademark this.
I think that's a great idea. There's a little, like, post-game rating. 5 beers out of 5, whatever
nice.
It is. And, yeah, you're obviously, if you're on the ball, you know you're going to miss your goalie. You know you've been well advanced. Like, hey, guys, I'm not going to be there in 2 weeks. Mm. Then you can get on the app early.
Start shopping.
Trying to get the best guy or the top tier of Rent-A-Goalies. Yeah, there should be something like that.
It's like
not going to hurt anyone's feelings. You know your capabilities as a goaltender.
Well, that's the other thing is you won't even know because if you're in the 1 to 2 star category, if you're getting selected, people know what they're getting in the room, right?
And frankly, there are 1 and 2 star teams out there.
You guys lately, though.
We've been 1 star for the last month.
So maybe you deserved, like, this guy was the caliber of goaltender.
We needed a goaltending performance that wouldn't sink all the progress we were making shift to shift. Kind of like the Maple Leafs last night.
Is there an app developer listening? Please hit us up. Let's take some name suggestions for our Rent-A-Goalie app. Rent-A-Goalie is kind of, it doesn't roll off the tongue.
I got it. You know how it was like Hot or Not with Mark Zuckerberg in like the social network? Mm-hmm. Wasn't it Hot or Not? Something like that?
Yep, it was.
Stop or Not or Save or Not.
That's pretty good, Justin.
Thank you.
That might be one of the most...
Save or not better than stop or not.
Maybe one of the most creative things you've done on the show.
Appreciate that.
Wow. Okay. We'll get cooking. We'll pull up the blueprints. We're going to have this app maybe by the end of the day.
Yeah, in time for next year's Beer League season.
All right. Well, best of luck to you next Wednesday night. Hoping that you get a win because you need it. Last night, Maple Leafs. Oh, boy. A win against a terrible team. I guess that's a...
Why is that an oh boy?
Well, because was that an exciting hockey game for you?
No.
The first 5 minutes, I thought it was going to be off the rails. This it was. Poor people that walk in late. Actually, I have no sympathy for you if you show up late, but there's sometimes you're struggling to get in.
Why no sympathy?
Well, because you
a busy
know...
busy person like yourself
But you know
can't.
When the puck drops. So if you're showing up, okay. The puck drops at 7, and you're strolling at 7:15, unless there's GO train delays or... You know, you're caught up at work. Most of the time people are just lax walking in last night.
A little lingering at dinner, a little.
You felt the reason why you got to get there on time because 3 goals in the first minute, it felt like.
Yeah, you don't want to miss that William Nylander 9 seconds in. What was that, the 4th fastest goal in Maple Leaf history? I believe
it was 9 seconds in.
Very exciting stuff. Kind of set the tone for the night. It felt like it didn't feel like a real game. It doesn't feel like a real team, that Chicago Blackhawks team. I can't believe they're not last in the National Hockey League right now. The team that actually is in last, we just saw on a back-to-back, and they only got 2 of 4 points from that little set with the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard to believe, and they're going to get worse. Columbus is not going to get worse, or not like materially worse. But Chicago, at the end of the deadline, if they can successfully sell off assets, are going to look like one of the worst teams ever assembled, which is kind of sad because they're like less than 10 years removed from a legitimate dynasty in the NHL. And now they are horror awful, really bad.
What'd you say?
Shaq, horror awful.
They're so bad that Keefe had some post-game comments that made me laugh. We have a clip talking about why you can't take much away from this game. Yet we're going to try, because this is morning talk radio. We're going to find some things. But Keefe, he just threw in the towel and said, nah, not tonight.
A lot of these guys have been playing together for a long time now. They have a sense of what the structure is, and they know, you know, they know what they can do, and they get the information on faceoffs, and you know, but they have a lot of flexibility to call the plays and get organized themselves, and that's what you want. You want the players out there taking charge. You know, they have a sense, they have a feel. Obviously, that's the start of the game, but when you're in the game, you have a sense of your opponents, you have a sense of the timing. You know, they have a feel for things that coaches just can't, we can't replicate that. And you need to be able to take charge out there. You watch any experience and championship caliber team, you know, their people are taking charge of different situations. And that's what you'll love to see, those guys take that initiative and execute.
Unfortunately, I thought that was
a little more positive than we were expecting.
That was the quote. The quote I was looking for, maybe I selected the wrong clip there, was, the game didn't have much life to it. It's not what you expect in terms of what it's like to play in the NHL.
No, that's a good one. I do wish we heard that, because the bluntness is exactly what you need to hear and precisely on the nose. It could not be said more succinctly or appropriately than what Sheldon Keefe did provide in the postgame.
He said, that's not what you expect in terms of what to play like in the NHL, and that's the Chicago Blackhawks team. I mean,
and making matters worse for Chicago, like, if we're talking about the big story of the night, I guess it's Patrick Kane, and we'll get into all that stuff. But Austin Matthews has a transformative effect. Newsflash, Austin Matthews has a transformative effect on a hockey team. It looks a lot different when Austin Matthews around. It didn't, like, I don't think we needed Austin Matthews to be in the lineup yesterday for the Toronto Maple Leafs to look like the superior team. But when you drop that sort of player, who, by the way, didn't look at all phased by a couple weeks absence, they look like, the best version of themselves, duh. But they look exceedingly dangerous. And it is a little bit of a departure from what we saw on the weekend, where, not that William Nylander was ineffective, he was great at times, and not that Mitch Marner and John Tavares didn't have a great partnership that produced some really great moments. But when you fit Austin Matthews at the top of the food chain, they look really, really scary. And they look really scary, terrifying against a team like Chicago right now.
So he misses 3 weeks, comes back like that. Beautiful goal. Willie Nylander has a great night. Marner has a good night. Core four is better than the players on the Blackhawks altogether. Mm-hmm. Tangible things. Timmins in for Hall. This was a storyline yesterday about Hall getting demoted a little bit, having to sit on the bench. Connor Timmins comes in and gets a goal. I like to see some Connor Timmins here.
Yeah?
I don't know if I want to see Connor Timmins
in
the playoffs.
You want to see more Connor Timmins next time out?
I'd like to see more.
Montreal Saturday?
Yeah, I'd like to see Connor Timmins get another opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's justifiable. I think it depends, though, on, like, what is the message you're trying to send Justin Hall? It's like, is it slap on the wrist, or is it like, hey, your job's in jeopardy here, bud? Like, what is it? What is exactly the point of the benching? Because I think, you can demonstrate and you can show a player, hey, this wasn't good enough, and these are the repercussions. Or you could open up a competition for defensemen. And I don't know if we're at the point where we should be opening up the competition, because maybe Connor Timmins on a defensive pairing with Rasmus Sandin, highly, highly sheltered minutes against Chicago, and then Montreal, and then Chicago again, will look really, really good. But I think where you were about to go there is Boston, second round, Tampa, first round, that defensive pairing, Timmins and Sandin, is that going to hold up? I'm not really sure. Like, Justin Hall was the minutes leader for this team, defensively at least, and widely. For a reason. He does do things that you need, and he does things that Connor Timmins and I think Rasmus Sandin can't right now at the NHL level, much of that being like big time penalty killing minutes. And I feel like you're going to need that. Can you stand to upgrade? Sure. But can you upgrade with Timmins and Sandin? Yeah, they're going to look good against Chicago in a big time sheltered night, but I don't know if this is a permanent thing.
No.
Let's not open up the competition
here. And I think that the main reason I want to see maybe a little Connor Timmins action is to just have a little wake-up call. If you're going to get anything from these next couple games, which, once again, We're playing the Montreal Canadiens. We're playing the Chicago Blackhawks. The Sabres is a big one. There's a couple good ones on the stretch, but I don't know if this is the guy you're going to rely on in the playoffs, being Justin Hall, to put a little fire under his ass. That's all. I'm not saying that I think Connor Timmins is the answer. Maybe we have the answer from last night. But the Chicago Blackhawks team came in. Patrick Kane was the big conversation. I don't really know what else to talk about from that game other than Patrick Kane looks washed.
Really? Done, eh?
Really? Yeah. I was not impressed. And I think maybe I had bigger expectations because we teed this up. It was Matthews versus Kane. It was two legendary American-born goal scorers. Kane being circled, potentially interested in the Maple Leafs, should the Maple Leafs go out and acquire Kane. He's a legend. He's got playoff experience. He knows how to put the puck in the net. He would be a dynamic addition to this top four to six forward lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Blah, blah, blah. Last night, snooze fest. And I get it. He's playing on the potentially worst team in the NHL. But I thought he would come out and, like, play for something. He looks so disinterested. And it was a bit disappointing because that's a night that you could have got this market fired up.
Yeah, definitely. I think his words, if he chose to use them, or his actions could have said a lot yesterday. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it was mostly, it was inaction and there were no words because he didn't speak to the media.
Yeah, he chose not to speak to the media, which I, just so everybody knows, like that's a...
Well, I think that means something too.
Yeah.
Like he didn't want to play the game. And I think the main takeaway from Patrick Kane when it's, you know, as it pertains to the Maple Leafs yesterday, is that if he wanted or wants to be a Maple Leaf, he definitely did not show it.
No.
Like, in no way, right? Like, if you were campaigning to be a member of this team, if it was your dream in the second half of your career or deep into the second half of your career to pair with Austin Matthews on a top line with a team that could win the Stanley Cup, well, you barely sort of lifted a finger in doing it. And I think if he came in and said, hey, this would be a great spot. If he went to the media and said, yeah, I'd be definitely interested. I want to go somewhere, but I'm not going to go just anywhere. And playing with Austin Matthews would be very, very fun. He could have said something like that. He didn't say anything. And if we're looking at the things that he did say with his performance, it was very, very lackluster.
That's exactly it.
Now, I'm not going as far as saying he's washed because he may be hurt. He may be uninspired. He may just want this season to end because all of this is uncomfortable and he's got a young family at home and he doesn't want to move twice and he doesn't want to do this and that. And that's all fair. Like as much as
then come out and say, I'm not interested in being traded.
But like maybe if there's the perfect spot or maybe I can, hey, we go down to March 2nd.
Well, then play better.
And it's like, yeah, I can leave the house for 2.5 months or whatever's needed. We can figure this out. Maybe there's some indecision there. And I kind of sympathize with that. And if we're fantasy football or fantasy hockey GM, yeah, of course we want to see this stuff, but there's a lot more that goes into it. And at least tonight, or last night rather, he definitely didn't like show it. He didn't show that this is what he wants. And I think we should probably take that at a reasonable amount of face value.
1,000%. There was a lot of players that had a lot to play for last night on the other side of the ice. Not sure anybody really elevated to a point where we're drooling this morning,
well,
but
you saw a little bit more effort out of a Max Domi.
Yeah.
He did take two minor penalties at least because maybe he was a little overzealous.
We're going to do some fake trades in a minute.
Wait, we're going to do some fake trades. I don't think I like either of my trades, but we set the assignment and we're going to present some trades nonetheless.
But Patrick Kane could have been, and should have been, I would think, the big point of conversation this morning here. That, all right, there's a way that we should and could get Patrick Kane. This is what's going to cost. It's worth it. He's on the final year of his $10 million contract, blah, 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 blah. It'll be a great fit. I don't feel that way at all this morning. And
okay.
I haven't watched every single Chicago Blackhawks game this season.
No.
So
okay, let me ask you
take
this
in a bubble, of course. I've watched the games they've played against the Maple Leafs. But show me what has been exciting about this season so much so that erases what I saw last night.
Let me ask you this then. You can include the context of last night, but take aside money and what it would take and Matthew Nyes and all that stuff. Do you think if he was plopped into the top six right now that he would greatly benefit this team?
Greatly, no.
No?
No.
You don't think him whipping around the puck on a power play, the little plays to get Austin Matthews the puck wouldn't...
Didn't William Nylander do that?
Yeah,
can't Mitch Marner do that?
He plays with two players.
Okay. He was slow.
You think it would be even downgrade?
I don't think he is worth the investment and the...
I said take aside that.
Okay, well, that's not how I can't evaluate free Patrick Kane. If it's free Patrick Kane...
Well, you said he's washed. If he's washed, you don't want a washed player.
Washed was kind of an exaggeration, you know, like you're washed.
Yeah, you say that to me every day.
Yeah, he probably has...
It's an exaggeration with me every day?
He probably has some value left. Yes, he's not the worst player in the NHL. But it's hard for me to remove the context of what Patrick Kane is going to cost...
Yes.
To evaluate if the Maple Leafs should put him in the top six. I can't play that hypothetical of a game.
That's fair. But if he was free,
it's Patrick Kane.
I think it would look pretty... I'm not convinced that this guy can't play, and it would be probably still as we thought. It's just, it's so unlikely. Maybe it's not even something he wants. And for that reason, it's not going to work. But if he played either in Toronto or Edmonton and he paired with superstar players, I still think you're getting superstar contributions from Patrick Kane.
Sure. Wash is an exaggeration. He's just not the Patrick Kane, the vintage Patrick Kane, the guy that's the deliverer, the big moment.
The clutch guy, the guy who's driven, the guy who was a crucial part of three Stanley Cup champions. Like, there's a lot of...
And a lot of that can be injury-related. That's
fine. Does it still burn? And again,
and
the injury is a thing, too.
I had hip surgery. I know this sucks.
It's probably really hard to get motivated, especially if you never wanted to move and you still really don't.
And if you're looking for the big hot trade acquisition at this trade deadline, and you have Timo Meier and you have Ryan O'Reilly and you have keep naming the guys, Patrick Kane moved down the list for me. That's all.
That's fair.
We got to see one moment of Patrick Kane last night, one game. We're going to see him again on Sunday.
The dream died.
Sure. That's where I'm coming from. All right, let's talk about the dream then. Blackhawks have been circled to be big sellers. No shock on that one.
Well, there's only a couple teams, right, that can give you kind of the perfect scenario, which is, okay, they're willing to retain. They're willing to do
Coyotes. Basically
things that make you actively a worse team. They are resigned to the fact that they are bad. They're the Coyotes, as you mentioned. They're the Chicago Blackhawks. They're the San Jose Sharks. Is there really any other team that will actively and willingly take a step back?
Not as of February 16th.
I don't think Columbus is selling off premium parts. I don't think the Anaheim Ducks are selling off premium parts. I think it's Chicago. I think it's San Jose. And I think it's Arizona. So it's worth at least exploring what could be there from the Blackhawks.
So with that being said, the context is important. We are making Blackhawks trade proposals with only the Blackhawks because we saw the Blackhawks last night. This is not us cooking up a trade deadline banger.
And I'll say it again. I don't like my deals.
Well, good to know for context.
I created them watching the first period, and I'm watching it, and I'm like, this is not the way to go. But this is what could be there. So let's go through them.
Okay, so... Ugh.
You don't even want to do it.
It's tough after last night. And yeah, this team is not great, but I'm trying to think big picture and not live in the bubble of one game sample size. And once again, I don't watch every single Chicago Blackhawks deal game, but I do think I have something that might be interesting.
Okay, I got one, and then I got the extended variation.
So if you have two, you should go first because I have one.
Okay, it's not really two. It's just adding Patrick Kane to it.
Okay.
But I will go first. All righty. It's actually both of them are pretty big. Now, these deals center around Jake McCabe. Because if I watched anything last night, and hey, you can convince me Sam Lafferty can help you. And he's in my trades as well. But Jake McCabe looks like a competent defenseman to me. I didn't go through his numbers. I didn't because I don't even think they're really... I don't think they apply. When you're on a bad team... You can cherry pick numbers and convince yourself that any player's bad. You can. How is that an environment where you're going to put up good underlying numbers? It's impossible. And Jake McCabe's aren't even that bad. So I think he deserves some credit for that.
He's the only player on the team in the plus.
Yeah.
Plus
which
minus.
Is like, okay.
It's impossible.
That must mean something, right? And again, we're not watching him every night. Watched him last night. He had some good and bad moments. But he looks like he has the skill set to be a reasonably effective player. Put him in a good situation, put him in a good pairing. He's playing with Seth Jones. You could say that's a good thing. You could also say or argue that's a terrible thing. So I think Jake McCabe is the premium asset there. because he's paid what he's paid, and maybe he really wants to get
and
out of
there. And he's not a rental.
And he's not a rental. That's the most important thing. And that's rule number one with me. Pretty much with any dealing, I'm not going after rentals. I'm not going after rentals because next year is not even as important as this. It's more important, in my opinion. So I'm looking for players that are going to stick around. My first deal to Toronto, Jake McCabe and Max Domi at 50% retained.
This is exactly a trade I have.
Plus Sam Lafferty. Sam Lafferty has one more year. So you're getting three players, two of which are retained, two of which McCabe and Lafferty will be around for two playoff runs, at least. That drops McCabe down to $2 million salary for 3 years, which is a very, very important piece. If he's a good defenseman and you're getting a good defenseman for $2 million, that's Justin Hall money, you got something there. So Jake McCabe. To Chicago. I wonder what your return will be. Pierre Engvall. Rasmus Sandin. Pierre Engvall's only going because of
Chris
money.
In London just lit up.
Rasmus Sandin, so that's one premium asset, if you want to call it that. Fraser Minton, that's the second decent asset. And that kind of applies to Chicago because the Mrazek deal, the Leafs took Minton with their first pick after giving up their first round pick.
Sure.
A first round pick and a fourth round pick. Fourth round picks in 2024. So Sandin, Minton, a first and a fourth for McCabe. Of three years, 2 years of Lafferty, and Max Domi, 50% retained as a rental. Give us yours.
So mine is in a similar vein. I'm going with the namesake return, McCabe and Domi to the Maple Leafs.
I probably should have been able to figure that one out. We were pretty excited about the prospects.
But not even just because it's fun and it's so headline-breaking.
They're the two guys that stand out.
You watched that game last night, and even I'm still pulling a little bit to try to find something that I want from that Chicago Blackhawks tire fire, but McCabe and Domi, I could be convinced on. McCabe, I'm in the same wavelength. You got to get him at 50% retained, so that's $2 million, and yes, you mentioned he's a UFA in a couple of years, so that's
and
great.
And I will say that's the only reason to give up a first-round pick. I think people are talking about McCabe for a first, as is. I need the retention for a first-round pick.
1,000% need the retention, or else I'm not doing this.
Okay.
Other reasons I like McCabe... He's a left shot, but he's happy to play the right side.
Mm-hmm. Versatility is probably pretty important with this Leafs team.
He can eat like 19, 20 minutes. He can play against top six lineups. He's big. He's like 205 pounds. He's a big body. He blocks shots like no one else. Like him and Gio are in the top of the league and block shots.
Okay. He's different than the Leafs defenseman they currently have. Like what are our reservations about?
I'm not getting the exact same D.
Sandin
I don't want the
Dimmons.
Same D.
He's a different D man. Yeah. Important.
He's physical. With this trade, I want to mention, I'm not getting rid of Sandin, but I then think Sandin might become replaceable if McCabe is able to take out someone like Timmins, Sandin, or Hall. So, McCabe at 50% retained and Max Domi on his one-year UFA contract here with $3 million. So, you have about $5 million there. I'm shipping out Alex Kerfoot.
Okay.
$3.5 million salary.
Cameras loved Kerfoot last night.
Yeah, they were all over him. Because they were saying this is the trade package.
Maybe.
Alex Kerfoot, which he makes $3.5 million UFA. Steves.
Okay. So nothing yet.
So he's an RFA in a year, and he's on the $800,000 salary. So it's about $4.5 million. So there's the salary matching ish. First round pick in 2023, and a fourth round pick in 2024. So I want to context this with the reported asking price right now for McCabe, if acquired at his full $4 million salary. So you're gonna have to ask for more if you're gonna keep him. Is a second round pick and a B level prospect. There's your B level prospect. I like Steves, but he's not going to get into this Leafs lineup. We have enough people like Steves.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to bump up the second round pick to a first if you're going to get Domi as well. I think, honestly, I think this is a bit friendly for the Maple Leafs.
Yes.
But I'm just, a girl can dream. All of this said, you keep Matthew Nyes. You get to plug Matthew Nyes in for the playoff run. You get to see what you've got. Domi can be a third line center / winger. He can play wherever in the wing, the top
six.
Playing
with Patrick Kane right now.
He's leading the team in points on the Chicago Blackhawks, but still, he's leading the Chicago Blackhawks in points. You know that he will play with so much heart and pride to wear this Toronto Maple Leafs jersey. Every time he's here, all seven of his career games in Toronto, he's got a point. He wants to be an impact player. Like, he... This is a big thing for him.
It would mean a lot to him. He would put his nose in there. He would be the sandpaper you're lacking in a lot of ways. He's a small guy. I don't know how much he can do, but he is going to be physical. He's going to
be. He was good in the playoff series last year with Carolina. He made a difference for the Hurricanes.
Okay.
And I'm not saying that he's a playoff performer, but I'm saying that he can do something on this roster that others can't. He's got a little bit of sandpaper, a little grittiness. He could throw himself in a puck battle. McCabe, Domi could be a nice little package, and you know that Dubas isn't, you know, shies away from two-player deals. He likes that. Mm-hmm. There could be a situation there where they package. And for the Hawks, my sell on them, sorry, is that a pick this year is really important for them. They got to start the rebuild process. Steve's actually could be a part of this team right now for them. Tell me someone that was exciting on the
help
ice.
Help them get to the bottom of the Bedard sweepstakes.
At least he'll have an opportunity to play, and then you can see what you're going to do with him. And Kerfoot, Kerfoot's Kerfoot.
Yeah, so, I think a little friendly. I think one more premium asset has to go. But, yeah, we're on the same page there.
A premium asset as in a higher pick, a second round as well, or you're talking about throwing Engvall or someone
well,
in there?
Well, I had Sandine Minton. Engvall, I think it has to be someone that you can get. You can sell your franchise about
Sandin,
getting excited about. Listen, I think it's time to make a decision on Sandine. He's been around for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's still a young guy. I still think teams will be former first-round picks. You'll get excited about that, the prospects of turning him into something. But if you're serious about winning the next couple years, I think you got to ask the question, can we upgrade on Rasmus Sandin right now? And Jake McCabe coming in would be that upgrade, right? Who else are you taking out? I guess Justin Hall is under the spotlight right now, but I don't believe his spot's really, truly in jeopardy. But maybe I'm missing the boat on that a little bit because he did sit to start the Lightning series last year. A look at the lineup, if this deal, mm-hmm. or at least my deal, because I'm including Lafferty, but ours are pretty much the same. I got Bunting, Matthews, Nylander, Domi, Tavares, Marner. Talk about like leaf overload there. Domi, Tavares, Marner, a couple, just like that's blue and white right there. Yarncroke, Kampf, Lafferty. I got Lafferty in the bottom six.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got Kerfoot out, so you'd have Engvall there. And my fourth line is Aston Reese, Holmberg, Kerfoot. Now, that doesn't make all that much sense. Like, I might be looking to move Kerfoot at that point. Kerfoot's got no trade protection, eh? You see that? Wild.
Yeah, but he's going to... I wouldn't be surprised if he's someone that's getting shipped out here.
I can't see it now. Like, we've heard, I don't know who said it, Merrick, Elliott, just been like the scuttlebutt. That everyone loves Kerfoot, that it would be something, like it would hurt the dressing room if Kerfoot was on the way out. He does have a modified no trade 10 team list that he submitted on July 1st, 2022.
I still think yours is a bit rich.
In terms of what?
You're giving up a lot.
Am I?
I think so. I like mine better.
Okay, I mean, I like yours better, too, if it can happen. But to get McCabe at retained salary, to get two players that are going to fit in your middle six, you
but
can't
do they
give,
need
can't
another middle
nothing.
Six? Like, I don't know how much Domi and Lafferty bolster this lineup for a playoff run.
Oh, I don't love it. Like, let's be honest. I'd rather do this deal with another team.
Yeah, I know. This is the context of picking the Blackhawks as a trade partner.
Then I only did this deal because I think McCabe, Domi, and Lafferty can play on this team. I think McCabe's got a spot. Oh, yep. And my defensive core, sorry. Riley, Brody, McCabe, Liljegren, Geo Hall.
There you go.
It's not bad.
So Sandin's bye-bye.
Sandin's bye-bye. He's gone in my deal.
And so Sandin could be bye-bye in mine, but not specifically in this trade. He just becomes maybe someone that's expendable if McCabe is a better defenseman than Sandin. And this is still to be seen because we watched one or two games of him.
And if you do add a defenseman, you're running, without giving up one, you're running nine deep with Timmins, Sandin, Ben, not Blang.
I would say that if this is what we get in return for this highly coveted first-round pick, it would be very disappointing.
I think that's fair as well.
But once again, the context is this is with the Blackhawks
only. It's
only
highly coveted because the Leafs haven't spent a first-round pick in forever.
And that's a good context, though.
This isn't, it's a premium asset, but it's not, teams aren't going to be falling over themselves to get it, right?
It's a
late first round draft.
It's a big thing that changes what the Maple Leafs look like.
Okay, can I add Patrick Kane to this?
Yes.
So it's the same. You're getting Domi, McCabe, and Lafferty, but you're also getting Patrick Kane.
Why don't we just take the whole Blackhawks team over?
Let's take 20% of the worst team ever assembled. But we're going to do it. So in order to pull off this deal, Patrick Kane has to be traded to the Arizona Coyotes first.
Ugh, God, this is getting worse.
At 50% retention. So Patrick Kane to Arizona, 50%. All told here, to Toronto, Patrick Kane, double retention. So he's, you know, the price is diminished.
Why don't you just make him free?
It's diminished as much as possible. I mean, you got to pay for the price to be diminished, but you are. In order to fit him in, this is what you got to do, Ailish. Patrick Kane, Jake McCabe, Max Domi. McCabe and Domi retain at 50%, and Sam Lafferty. So, again, 20% of the Chicago
Blackhawks. Domi at 50% too?
Yes.
Oh.
I retained Domi in the first one as well.
Oh, I missed that. Sorry.
To make the money work, I had to. Because you got rid of Kerfoot, a little bit more money. I did Engvall. Okay, so Kane, McCabe, Domi, Lafferty to Toronto. Arizona, for their troubles, 25%. Joey Anderson, a third-round pick and a seventh-round pick. They also have to give up a sixth-round pick, though, to make the deal work.
Seventh-round pick just blows my mind that exists.
No, they're just essentially they're getting Joey Anderson a body. And
like, I could be a seventh-round pick.
A third-round pick to eat some money. You're paying for a third-round pick if you're Arizona.
Got it.
To Chicago. This is the big stuff.
Oh, boy.
Matthew Nyes, Rasmus Sandin, Alexander Kerfoot, Wayne Simmonds, Travis Boyd from the Arizona Coyotes, a first-round pick, a second-round pick, and a sixth-round pick. That is for Patrick Kane, Jake McCabe, Max Domi, and Sam Lafferty.
Are you high?
Let me break it down here. It's the same deal. To add Kane, though, it is Matthew Nyes and a second-round pick.
One more time. What do the Leafs give up again?
The Leafs are giving up Matthew Nyes, Rasmus Sandin, Alexander Kerfoot, Wayne Simmonds, a first-round pick, and a second-round pick.
For Patrick Kane, that we just said, is in the washed category.
Remember, I did this 5 minutes into the game. So
no, I understand.
I'm just making it clear.
I think this one might get torn to shreds.
It's just my extreme pick. But if you break it down,
people
you break
would
it down
pick
into parts,
it outside of Scotiabank Arena with flame tiki torches if this was the case.
You're not doing this, but you know, want to know what your team looks like? Where would you put Patrick Kane, by the way? I know you don't want him, but where would you put him?
I think you'd have to try him in the top six.
Of course. You want him to play with Austin Matthews. That was the dream, right? But then I'm looking at him like, does it make sense to play with Austin Matthews? Where's Bunting going to go if you have Austin Matthews and Patrick Kane? Well, this is the lineup. Bunting, Matthews, Kane. Interesting first line. Nylander, Tavares, Marner.
So we know that one's good.
It's a hell of a second line. Yarncroke, Kamp, Domi. It's an interesting third line.
How about Yarncroke yesterday, the pass through the slot?
Pretty bad.
Oof. Anyway.
Fourth line, Aston Reese, Holmberg, Engvall. That is a pretty good team. That's a good team.
Well, yeah,
the
it
full
is.
Measures approach.
But you better win the damn cup next year.
Has a first line of Matthews and Kane, a second line of three members of the core four, a third line with David Kamp, whom I love and I overstate, with Cali Yarncroke and Max Domi. That's an interesting line. And a fourth line of Aston Reese, Holmberg, and Pierre Engvall. Pierre Engvall's third line are playing on your fourth line. And your defense, Riley Brody, McCabe, Liljegren, Gio Hall, Connor Timmins is your extra. It's a pretty good team. So if you're all in and you love the Chicago Blackhawks, that's your deal. Kane, McCabe, Domi, Lafferty for Nyes, Sandin, Kerfoot, Simmonds. First round pick and a second round pick.
Nyes better end up being the biggest bust in NHL history or else... I wish Dubas would be on a wanted poster for this trade. It's
that you don't like that team.
I like the team, sure, but what you
Does
just
that
gave
team beat
up?
Boston?
No,
probably not. Eh?
But what you just gave up was everything in your.
It's the
cabinet.
All. It's the all in move. It's the all in move with Chicago.
Go all in somewhere else.
Okay.
Go all in with the San Jose Sharks.
But what do you? We should do. Maybe we should do this with San Jose. It is different a little bit, though.
What is the Blackhawks? Or
There's more from Chicago, I think, than San Jose. Yes, Timo Meier, Erik Karlsson. You can't do a trade with both Timo Meier and Erik Karlsson. It's impossible. So they have two premium assets. They go in different deals. The Blackhawks do have a defenseman I think the Leafs would be interested in. They do have some depth pieces, which they need. And they do have that top six upgrade, which we've been talking about all along. So Chicago does have the pieces that may interest Toronto, or at least fill or check the boxes that Toronto may be looking at the deadline. But do these pieces fit in the end? No, they don't. This deal makes very little sense. However, if you do look at the lineup, it's not all that bad.
Poor Wayne Simmons got booted in yours too, eh?
Yeah, there's only, I guess
that
I
was rude.
I could have went Steve's, I guess.
Yeah, why do you have to trade Wayne Simmons to the Blackhawks at the end of his career?
I'd have to go back to the...
That was a gutless move.
The cap-friendly page, yeah.
Pick someone else.
I got old Travis Boyd involved too.
Yeah, you, for wanted no reason. To, you wanted to get that guy's name buzzing again.
No, the salary dumps were Wayne Simmons and Joey Anderson.
Yeah. Here's the, I'm not going to, we're going to let the text line just... get in here because it's baby Friday.
It's, I mean, let's not, it's not that serious.
No, I know. I'm not saying that.
I think it's a good exercise because it underscores how crazy you'd have to get to add pieces from a terrible hockey team.
Is Justin related to Lafferty?
Listen, like a lot of Lafferty's hearsay too. Like Lafferty, I think he's Frank Saravalli's boy. Speaking of Frank Saravalli,
we're going to have him.
Got him soon. This Leaf team can stand to upgrade in the bottom six, though. Sam Lafferty scored a nice goal yesterday.
Sure.
He can play a little bit. He's cheap. And he's got 2 years left on his contract. Well, 1 year after this. He checks boxes.
Well, I hope that none of these trades come to fruition.
Same.
But if there's a way to get, and I think the underlying thing is this, is McCabe could be a real piece if it's the right price and if you're okay with moving out what their current asking price is with the full retention is a second round and a B-level prospect. So if you're going to get a 50% retention, does that get bumped to a first? You're going to use a first round pick on Jake McCabe?
Our guy Jason Bukala wrote, I pulled it up yesterday. I'm not sure exactly when he wrote it, but he was talking about first round pick plus for a retained Jake McCabe.
That, to me, that first round pick to Jake McCabe,
you got to do a level of scouting.
You got to swallow a little bit of pride. We got to know that this guy is going to be great for the next two seasons. And yes, he's not a rental, so I feel better about that. And Kyle Dubas said last week that they're not interested in going all in on rentals. So this guy's a part of your lineup for two more playoff runs.
That's the most important thing.
We're scraping the bottom of the barrel a bit.
But that's the most important thing for me. Can we get, if we're talking about any trade, any player coming in, can we get someone at a discounted rate who can help us for multiple seasons? How are you or the Maple Leafs going to improve your team? Get guys who are supposed to be paid this, that are paid this, that can help you for a couple years.
Is Gavrikov right? Better than him?
I'm not convinced.
Okay.
I would be, the most uncomfortable thing, I think, for me, would be paying full price right now for Vladislav Gavrikov. I'm not convinced.
I would like to read these trades to Frank Saravalli at 7 a.m.
He's not going to be happy with me.
He's already not happy because he went to the Super Bowl and watched his team lose.
Yeah, he could be a little surly today.
It could be dicey.
Presenting my 15 asset trade to him might...
It could be dicey, but...
Might not be what he wants.
For fun, Allison Toronto, who is a lawyer, Texan quite often. If the Leafs did that trade, I would represent the Leafs Nation pro bono and sue Kyle Dubas for pain and suffering. Anyway, context was we had to make a trade with the Chicago Blackhawks.
What did we part with that you really, holding on to?
First round pick.
Just Matthew Nyes and a first for Patrick Kane, Jake McCabe, Max Domi, and Sam Lafferty.
That seventh round pick is going to come back and bite you in the ass, Justin.
All right.
Okay, so I want to read some of these names for the app because this is a real deal here. Call it Crease, Ryan in Orangeville. Call the app Tendy, John in Brampton.
I feel like there is a Tendy app.
Mm. Name it Trapper Track. Wow, that's tough. Trapper Tracker.
That's not bad.
Spencer in Oakville. Trapper Tracker. Say that five times fast.
I'm afraid to.
Selly Busters. Isn't it like the sandwich shop? Almost.
Yeah.
In Toronto.
Yeah.
There's some good ones. We've got Blue Paint, Tender again, SOS, meaning Save Our Season. Kind of like that one. That's all Mike and Asnaboya.
It's not bad.
When Mike and Asnaboya gets on the text line, he gets in the text line about eight times in a row.
Exclusively good ideas, too.
Dependy Tendy. It's kind of fun. Puck Buddy for the app. That's Cam and Bethany. Anyway, it's kind of fun. Keep coming.
Good stuff.
Quickly, this is our lineup today. We got a great show. We got Frank Saravalli at 7, of course. We've got Nick Taylor, who was in it on Waste Management Sunday in the final pairing down to the wire there. Canadian golfer joining us. We're going to get the scoop on that streaker that belly flopped into was it 17 or 18? Whatever.
Not sure.
And John Morosi at 8. A little roundup from Dunedin.
From Dunedin.
We're going to hear the birds chirping in the background. The reasoning, obviously, is to tee up what's going on with your Blue Jays. But also, the MLB has started the little demonstration of the new elements coming to this year's season. Their little rules demo in Dunedin. As a reminder, they've put some new things in. Pitch clock, the 30-second timer between batters and pitchers. We'll have 15 seconds between pitchers to begin their motion, 20 if a runner's on base. Lots of things to figure out here. Pitch clock, though. Kikuchi. Buddy better be really ripping up the speed clock in his practices here. The shift band, that's a big one. Obviously, it's going to make a big difference in this outfield and the infield.
I love the ban on the shift. Love it.
Okay, that's a topic that I think people are split on. Larger bases. I don't know if you saw them yesterday. They look exactly like pizza boxes. Okay. They've added 3 inches to first, second, and third.
If you can add an inch to a pizza box, I'm here for it.
3 inches. Significant. All of this being said, they're testing it this week. Everyone's getting an opportunity to give it a go. We'll get a wrap up of all that. I wonder if people like that. Are we being too... are we changing baseball for the better? Question.
Big mystery?
Mystery, I guess. I don't know.
Philosophical divide?
John Morosi will give us the look. And then also George Springer in the media saying, it feels good to feel good. Well, isn't that factual?
I agree, George.
Feels good to feel good. Anyway, you got a full roundup of what's going on in Dunedin. That's at 8 a.m. Also, our Wake and Rake hit back-to-back days.
Ooh.
Don't call it a dynasty.
Bury the lead there.
Here we go. Back-to-back days of Wake and Rake wins.
8 of 9 this week.
Things are looking up, folks.
The show's hot. You got to break up the show right now.
Once again, you got no Toronto sports, though, tonight or tomorrow. So get creative. Neil's pick hit once again. I think we're really on to something. We've coveted an electric text line of gamblers. So keep that coming today. We're going to try to go 3 for 3. That's the Wake and Rake at 8:30. We're going to take a break. We've got the A-list on the other side. Keep sending in your texts at 590-590. We'll get to those throughout the show.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Now it's time for the A-list.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
What's up, baby?
All right, I don't know if you've seen that video yet of the Kelce brothers on the podcast post.
I have.
Man, that one pulled at the heartstrings, eh?
It did.
They seem like, I know I was ripping Travis Kelce for put some respect on us, like saying that nobody believed in the Chiefs. But watching those two talk about their mom and what the family meant to them, I thought it was really, really special. So,
tugs at the old heartstrings.
Yeah, inching back into my heart. But what I really liked about this brotherly love and the way that, I mean, this was the first time, maybe one of the only times we're going to see two brothers go head to head in the Super Bowl. After the Chiefs won, Chiefs fans started donating to Jason Kelce's charity. Of course, his jersey number, 62, and other Kelce's jersey number, 87. If you add the numbers up, it's $14.90. So Chiefs fans thought, we're going to thank the brothers for such a great Super Bowl, and we're going to donate $14.90 to Jason Kelce's charity called Be Philly. And his personal goal, it launched this charity back in October, was of $100,000. Before the Super Bowl, he was at around $9,000. Since then, and since Kansas City fans wanted to appreciate the two of them, it's over $100,000 as of this morning, $112,000 raised because of fans just sending in a little bit less than $15 as an appreciation for what those two have done and what the way that the Super Bowl, maybe one of the best ever, was played.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, it kind of surprised that Jason Kelce's charity was not earning, like you said, $9,000?
Yeah.
It's pretty low. I mean, you know, clearly he's got an NFL season to worry about, and he set a pretty modest goal, I suppose. But the thing about charity, if a fan base catches wind and a feeling good about itself, they can flood a charity. And I think that's one of the, like, the nice, like, trends that have come of recent seasons is, like,
well, with DeMar Hamlin,
if there's a cause and there's a reason, people can actually find a way to funnel those funds or funnel what they want to give into a real positive direction. So it's a cool thing.
Hopefully it's not like what happened with Russell Wilson, where apparently this investigation found that he's only giving 24.3 cents of every dollar from his charity, which is hundreds of thousands of millions of dollars. Not a good look. Jason Kelsey's
of millions of dollars.
Something like that. Jason Kelsey's foundation, Be Philly, if you feel like taking a look at it, is a nonprofit group.
I gotta say, a more trustworthy guy too.
Oh my God. I would trust Jason Kelsey with my life.
Yeah.
Anyway, it provides financial support and increases visibility to charitable organizations across Philadelphia. So take a look if you're interested, but it was really nice to see Chiefs fans coming together to do good. One last thing on the other side of it. We need to stop Patrick Mahomes from commenting on silly things in the media. So he went on his little media tour, Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon, I don't know who's who anymore. Here's an audio clip of him talking about what happened post-game in the, you know, the celebrations of the Super Bowl.
Yeah, no, so we started off, they actually threw a nice party for us at the hotel. The Chainsmokers came through, DJ Khaled came through. You can't beat that, man. That's every genre of music you need right there.
I can't think of two people I'd rather see less than the Chainsmokers and DJ Khaled.
Really? That's a scathing review of those two.
But if you win the Super Bowl, that's who you're fired up to go to your hotel and watch.
A hotel party. Is
DJ Khaled doesn't really do anything.
DJ
Khaled, we the best.
He just screams
music.
Another one. I guess another Chainsmokers song.
Another one. Maybe that was it. Like, he just, every time that Patrick Mahomes shows his trophy and the Super Bowl, they go, another Super
Bowl.
One.
Another MVP. Another Super Bowl MVP.
And the Chainsmokers?
I mean,
that's what you got for you winning the Super Bowl is those guys. You could have just brought Rihanna back over. ASAP Rocky was around. Drake's there. Jay-Z.
I mean, Arizona, James too. Marcus. Like, there are venues. There are parties. There are things you could probably find better than a hotel party. Vegas, also, a short drive. You're not driving.
Yeah,
short flight away.
I think you can do better than.
You're now not doing it right if you win a championship and you don't go straight to Vegas.
I agree. Anyway, shout out to DJ Khaled. We the best music. Another one. Frank Saravelli on the other side of the break. NHL Insider, President of Hockey Content at dailyfaceoff.com. He was at said Super Bowl to see Philly lose.
Did he attend the party?
To see Philly lose.
Probably not.
Another one. That's next.